It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Friday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash? Call Celino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way.
Just give kudos to the O-line. You know, they opened up lanes for us to run today. We did our job.
It looked like, you know, our D-line, they was rushing real good. Got him off the spot, and he just threw it away. Looked like he was trying to throw it away, and, you know, I was just running to the ball and caught it and took it to the crib.
Division win is the best thing. That's the easiest way to get to the playoffs. Our objective every year, win the division, and then we'll finish the rest.
It's a fun one to play at. Our fans travel very well. They travel very well here. And, you know, we appreciate that. We feed off the energy that they give us, so thank you, Bills Mafia.
Allen wide open to Cook in the left flat, racing to the end zone. Is he in? Yes, he is. The Cook has found the kitchen. Thompson back to pass, and he's sacked. Von Miller beat the right tackle badly. Has to heave it, and it's intercepted. Coming the other way, and going for six is Jamarcus Ingram.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Two picks for Ingram and a pick six. Maybe a defensive player of the week in the AFC. Just like we all had it drawn up. Two straight AFC defensive player of the week awards for the Bills. If they get that, of course. Jeremy and Joe, happy Victory Friday. It is Football Friday here on WGR, brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash? Call Celino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, start your game day the Crosby's way. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Watching the highlights now on ESPN, seeing Tua walk off. We're getting the Tua concussion montage on ESPN right now.
They had that ready to go on Amazon last
Yes,
night,
they
huh?
did. Yes, they did. I thought the same thing.
It's like, call for, hey guys, we got the Tua concussion package ready to go to show after the break. And like, oh yeah, we got it. Yeah, unless they are that good at finding clips like within 2 minutes.
I feel like with him, it's probably been canned for a while. You've got it ready. It's like an obit for someone that's old. Not to make light of it, but all year last year, the story was, if Tua can avoid concussions and stay healthy. And he did. He stayed healthy the whole year.
Right.
And here we are in week two. And
he can't put his head down. He can't put his head down.
No, it's just an incredible mistake for him to have done that. I mean, it's a violent game. And, you know, the other ones, he's pushed from behind. He didn't fall the right way. Or
the Bengal guy, it's just he's
whipped to the ground.
Yeah.
This is he initiates contact with a player in the open field. And, you know, they have rules in place to not do that. So you wonder what the plan is for him, what he will want to do. You had said he considered retiring before. Now that he's got the money, he doesn't have to worry about it the same way. Like, oh, if I retire, how much am I leaving on the table? Now it's just no.
All right.
$90 million.
And if you're the Dolphins, I don't know. Would this have played into their – were they even hesitant? Was it just negotiation? Them committing to him long-term as their quarterback? Because there was an element of, hey, before last year, was you got to prove you could stay healthy. Or you can't be the long-term quarterback of a franchise and get a giant contract. And then the Dolphins did commit to him. And, man, if he is – and I think how can you not believe that he is going to be thinking about his future and maybe walking away? The Dolphins, like – that's just, it was the risk, I guess, of where you were. You had a quarterback with an injury history like that. You were always going to be at greater risk of this happening than any other team. Is you could be one bad hit away because of his background, of his history with those injuries, that it could all be over like that.
It's tough.
And then you're starting over. Then you're back to, maybe you're back to Tannehill for at least the rest of this year. But I feel like, don't you feel like right now they are cooked?
The team?
Yeah, like
Yeah,
I don't want to make assumptions on Tua, but the idea that he would be back
when,
right, in the next couple weeks or something, like, I don't know, man. It just, well, the protocol feels scary to think about that.
Right? Who knows if it's dealt with the right way? The protocols. I mean, these guys come back a lot, and until we had all this information and concussion protocols, I'm sure there are guys that played 10 years ago, 20 years ago that had five concussions and come back in 6 days, and not think about it.
He missed the Bills playoff game. Was it the concussion from that Bengal hit, or was it another one?
It might have been the Green Bay hit. He got hit by the Packers.
Yes, you're right. That's the one.
That's why he missed the playoff game.
Okay.
803-0550. Game balls to whoever you want. You can hand them out with us And we're going a lot of the defensive coaching staff and defensive players here. Just an incredible effort. A couple of turnovers, three turnovers in the game. Short fields for the Bills to work with.
Mm-hmm. Which is why their yardage total was pretty small. Yeah. It was only like 250-ish.
Yeah. Allen didn't throw that much. You know, Shakir got five catches. How many completions did he have, Allen? I think it was
13.
Right. So,
yeah. Yeah, he was 13 of 19.
That's a big target share.
That's,
I mean,
it's more than a third for Shakir.
It's 25% target share because he was five. By the way,
and his routes were not really, like, Kincaid gets four catches on the game. Every single one of them was designed to get him the ball. Like, right out, like, this is a Kincaid play.
Yeah.
This is getting him involved in the action. Shakir, maybe one of Shakir's was. Otherwise, Shakir's catches were Allen drops back to pass. He has protection. All right, let me look around. Who's got any room? Who am I trusting here? Who's got a little bit of separation? And every single time he threw, the ball came out of his hands, it was going to Khalil Shakir.
I thought, especially the one over the middle, where Shakir caught it between two guys. Might have been the way where Poyer blasts him.
Oh, that throw was incredible.
I thought, that's Diggs. In that, you could say a lot of things about everybody eats, but at the end of the day, the quarterback is going to say, where's my guy?
Yeah.
And right now, Shakir is that. Shakir and Kincaid, nine catches on nine targets. The efficiency of those two, it's still rolling.
Shakir had three catches on three targets last year. I should look, like, because last year, he had like a, it was even maybe historically high catch percentage.
Yes.
And this year, he started off 100%.
He did against the Dolphins. It's 5 for 5.
Yeah. He's 8 for 8 on the year. 8 targets, 8 catches through two games. And last year, he was 45 targets, 39 catches.
And don't you expect...
It's crazy.
Again, he's 5 for 5 in a game where they didn't throw that many passes. If they get into a shootout, how many catches... Like, what's Shakir's high target mark this year going to be? 14? It might.
Do you know what it was last year?
6?
It was 6.
Right.
Although, actually, I should scroll down. Playoffs, he had 9 targets against the Chiefs. So he did get 9 in the playoff game against the Chiefs. But regular season, it was 6.
He'll get double digits as soon as there's a game where they need it. They're going to keep going to him.
I think I agree with that.
So who emerges? Shakir. 5 targets. 5 for 5. All the other receivers, 1 completion to Curtis Samuel for 3 yards. I'm not mad about this. I'm just pointing out, like, you're seeing it happen. This is what it happens. It's not always forcing the ball. It's who does the quarterback trust? And he trusts, with good reason, Shakir.
Shakir's caught 21 straight targets. Going back to last year's Charger game, 21 straight targets.
That's pretty good.
Yep.
Kurt in Connecticut. Hey, Kurt, good morning. Welcome and happy Victory Friday.
Yeah, good morning, boys. Earlier you were talking about how can there be 6 Bills defensive players here and 7 over there. I'll tell you how. It's Bobby Babwich. He's over here cooking with leg of Vaughn and heart of Hamler. The brew is ripe, boys. Double bubble toil and trouble. Go Bills.
All right. Thanks, Kurt. I'm so upset with myself for not having thought of Bobby Babwich.
That's good. Yeah.
That's good.
His witch rating. What do we got? The 7s, maybe, after that game last night?
I mean, just the ability to transform backup players into starters.
Yep. 2 backup linebackers, a backup safety, backup nickel. Backup ends a little bit. They rotate a lot there. It's so impressive.
Yep.
Should I be worried, though, for when they go play the Ravens and the Texans, if they're going to have Baylen Specter and Doran Williams out there on the field? Should I be a little concerned?
Of course. I mean, a lot of season left. The Dolphins have a good offense, we think, although this year they have put up totals of 20 and 10.
20 and 10.
That's not very good.
Yep. Man, we are really, not to fast forward too much here, we are a Titans upset against the Jets on Sunday away from feeling like this division's going to be a cakewalk again. Aren't we?
I'm already there. I'm already there.
Well,
I told you. I'm
almost there. I need to make sure the Jets are not, you know, as good as the preseason hype. And they played the Niners, so just like, let me see what they look like against a much lesser team.
What on earth are the Jets going to do against the Bills' pass rush?
Well, that's a good point.
What on earth is Aaron Rodgers going to do? The Bills' pass rush...
He can't move, really.
Vaughn's average pressure time...
It was 2.1 seconds.
The best it's been since 2021.
Yep.
A pass rush win rate by the way, when you're doing linemen... edge rushers against offensive tackles, pass rush win rate is, do you win your assignment in less than 2.5 seconds. And Vaughn's average was 2.1.
Mm-hmm. I mean, 2.1.
Hey, he won. His average was winning every single snap.
I mean, it wasn't really hard to see. Like, it's the next-gen stats. If you just watch that game, it was Von Miller is beating that dude instantly.
Yeah.
Like, the guy couldn't even touch him.
Spins to the inside.
Yep.
Runs to the outside.
It looked like Von reached out, grabbed his hands. Like, Austin Jackson was trying to get his hands on Von. Von reached out, grabbed his, like, forearms and, like, pushed them down. Like, he had the arsenal of moves out last night.
Doug in Lancaster next up on Victory Friday. Good morning, Doug.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I just wanted to say real quick, great defensive play. I did not expect that with Taron Johnson being out. I'm glad to see some of the young players playing. I think that's what we need. As great as I liked Poyer and Tre'Davious White, those guys were legends here, but they were getting old. It was time to move on to some young players, and Poyer proved that when he got burned by Cook the other day. He just lost a step. So I just think that keep these young players in the mix. Bishop had a nice breakup in the end zone, our rookie safety. Yep. And, I mean, I think that's the only thing that I saw that I was disappointed yesterday, but maybe that was the flow of the game. No passes to Coleman or Matt Collins, but maybe that's the way the game was going.
Yeah, thanks, Doug. I think they each had one target in the books. Each credited with one target.
I think so.
I'll double check. I just had it up a minute ago.
Yes, you're right. You did. He had
because
one.
All the receivers not named Shakir were 1 for 6 on targets.
Yeah, Hollins had one. Valdes-Scantling had one. Coleman had one.
Yeah.
Samuel had two with one of them being
one
catch.
For 3 yards. Yeah. And one of those was the shot to the end zone for Curtis Samuel. They had him lined up in the backfield kind of off to the side.
He got matched up with a linebacker.
Yeah.
I think if Allen puts that ball to the corner, then Samuel might be by him. But the ball was a little bit more of like you got to jump over him here to catch it. But, yeah, like, I don't know. The way the game went, they never needed it, right? Like, there was a whole half of football where just the passing attack was just unnecessary, it felt like.
Yeah, I don't know how many games they can win like that, but it's one that they didn't really need any. They didn't need outside receivers. There will be games that they do. This was not one of them. Kyle in Florida. Hey, Kyle. Good morning.
Morning, gentlemen. Happy Football Friday.
For sure. Thanks, Kyle.
So I called a couple mornings ago and said we had a nice long conversation about McDermott, and so I got nothing except to call back and say the same thing. Now post victory. The way that he continues, because I love that we're giving Babich his flowers too, but we got to remember that this guy's been able to plug and play players for the last however many seasons, right? 7-8 seasons in this defense. And so I loved, Jeremy, you opening up the way you did to all of us McDermott truthers out there to puff our chests out today. Listen, that's not to say he's not without his warts.
Sure.
You know, for the rest of us truthers out there, just saying, we're not idiots, but we got one here. We got a great thing. We have a staff who can evaluate talent, especially, I mean, I cannot believe the amount of talent that they find on the defensive side that they can continue to plug and play. So him and Bean are locked in, and it's really great. And it's also great silver lining. We already have our mini bye week. So, I mean, what a great time for us to be getting healthy, because clearly we do not want to be going through the season without Bernard or Taron Johnson or anything like that. But, man, it's a McDermott day for me, gents. Could not be more excited. Hope you all have an awesome weekend.
Thanks, Kyle. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like you said, McDermott's he's not above criticism. And anytime people call and want to talk about his job status, look, I'm happy to take that call and have that conversation. What I'd said earlier was, you know, you get to dunk on your narratives with your friends. We all have them. And if you have somebody that hates McDermott, today's the day to text them and let them know, like, the guy knows defense.
Mm-hmm.
It's the reason, you know, we have a bet on the bet board up there that he'll never have a bottom 10 defense. And it's not because you think they will. You just took the bet. But no matter what, their defense is always... I should knock on wood. It's a long season.
Yeah.
A lot of season left. They're up about to play Jacksonville, Baltimore, Houston. Like, the tests will keep coming. and then yeah, the Rams and the Lions and the Chiefs, the Niners. It's going to be a season that really tests him and tests Bobby Babbage. So
you got to be great at something, but they might be great on the pass rush. And that's going to help if you've got to replace all of these pieces back there. If Baylen Specter has to start for multiple games in a row, what's going to help that is if the defensive line in front of him is dominant.
Yeah. And the thing I would say about, again, as long as you have Josh Allen, you're in the game. If you have a defense that doesn't ever get you out of a game, aren't you going to win a lot of games? The whole idea is, especially this year, a year in transition, a year where, whatever, young players, new leadership. Keep me in the game, Sean and Bobby, and let Josh Allen go to work. That was last week. This week it was, relax, Josh. We got this one, right? Three turnovers, a pick six, drive starts inside the 40. Take a day off. Isn't your hands bothering you? Let Jamarcus Ingram take control of this game.
Yeah, that's got to make it, by the way, even more of a twist of the knife if you're the Dolphins this morning. Because it's been, man, we just can't beat Josh Allen. Josh Allen beats us every time, right?
Yeah.
But this dude just crushes us. Last night, you didn't lose to Josh Allen. You lost to the Bills. The Bills in a transition. They didn't need Josh Allen. You lost to their coaching and their defense and their run game and their offensive line.
Everything.
That's a special kind of hell, is that it wasn't even just the quarterback. The rest of it is what crushed us last
night.
Right.
If you're in Miami and you're a Miami fan today, don't you ask the question. Like, it's one thing to always have Josh Allen take our lunch money, but now it feels like Sean McDermott's doing it to Mike McDaniel on a regular basis.
Yeah. Yes. Like
that's tougher to take. Ken in Westfield. Hey, Ken, good morning.
Von is back and the defense is looking good and we're about to cook this season with that defense.
Let's hope. Thanks, Ken. The Von factor, the X factor, if we had said during the preseason 100 times, what if you get 50% of him? What if you get 60%?
Yeah.
Would you take 8 sacks? Would you take?
Yeah.
And what would you say?
No, usually that was around the number, like 6, 7, 8 sacks. I don't know if we ever been like, oh, would you take 12? Like, because that would be like, of course.
You think he'll get to 12, or would you say, if he stays healthy for the year, would you put him at 12 or higher?
He's got 2 through 2 games. He's on a 16 sack pace. He looks
great. And he doesn't
great.
Even play that much.
No, I think I saw, I'll have to find it. I think there was a point in the game yesterday in the first quarter, maybe late in the first quarter, where he had only played one snap. And, you know, when he really started going out there, like for every play, it's when the Dolphins got behind and they thought, okay, the Dolphins are going to be throwing a lot here. When they thought Dolphins are going to run a lot, that's when I was tweeting about Casey Tuhill being on the field. Casey Tuhill was on the field a ton early on because I think they thought the Dolphins were going to be running the ball a lot, and they were. And then, all right, they're throwing. Let's throw Von out there. He only had, I had the number on it a second ago. What was it, 14? He had 14 pass rushes. 4 pressures and 14 pass rushes. So he might play a lower snap count, but hey, if he's going to be out there for the passing plays, then he can get his numbers. I think he can get up there to double-digit sacks.
Yeah. Rob in Connecticut. Hey, Rob.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you doing? It was so nice to have James Cook have a nice little Buffalo fish fry because he cooked himself up. Everybody eats, baby. Everybody eats. You know what I'm saying? So anyways, listen, I was just so happy with the game plan, the execution on both sides of the ball. It was beautiful. And let's not forget the discipline. 1 penalty for 5 yards. That's discipline right there. I'm just enjoying it. I'm wearing my James Cook jersey right now. I'm going to walk around with my chest blowed up all day long, baby. All day long. Keep doing what you're doing, guys.
Thanks, Rob.
Thanks, Rob.
After the opener, I mentioned this yesterday, kind of, you know, joking around a little bit. I traded for James Cook in a dynasty league because I thought, well, if the Bills are going to run it a lot more,
yeah,
I want to get invested in them running it more. And that felt good last night, Joe.
Yeah.
Felt real good.
I don't have the numbers in front of me. That's got to be his best fantasy game of his career.
Yeah. Half.
Yeah.
And a half.
Is the best part of the Bills being good the last 5 years this matchup? Is it the best part? They just hammer this team over and over and over.
Yeah.
And the Dolphins, like, I see it on social media. I know I've heard Sal tell the stories, my dad tell the stories, whoever, like the Bills-Dolphins rivalry that goes back. It's a rivalry. And the fans go back and forth, and it's just every time. It's every time. 11-1 in the last 12. Like, it might be the most enjoyable part of the Bills being great in the last 5 years. Is this twice a year, you're going to play the Dolphins, and you're going to feel awesome the next morning after the game.
I mean, aren't Bills fans time. Asking themselves, is this what it was like for the Bills, like for the Patriots against the Bills? Is this what it was like?
See, I don't know if it was that good, though, because, you know, Twitter makes it different, too. Like, did the Patriots even get – the Bills were like a fly on
that's
an
right.
elephant's
butt. The Bills were never, hey, they could win the division this
right.
year.
Meanwhile, over here, it's like, what are they saying over there again? I guess they're being – they're favored against us? Like,
That never happened
in the Bills-Patriots.
But you might have had, hey, we're 3-0 this year. We're coming for you. Yeah, womp.
Like, right,
usually,
exactly.
See you later. 803-0550, Paul in Buffalo before the next break. Hey, Paul, good morning.
Hey, guys. A question about the Bills and a prediction. The question is, does anyone miss Stephon Diggs right now, having seen the offense for 2 weeks? And the prediction is this. There is a New York team that's going to make a championship this year. It's going to be the New York Mets. They have something going with Lindor, and there's a case to be made for him as the NL MVP. Fellas, have a great Friday.
Thank you. Careful about winning without a player contributing, because the Bills are now 6 games away from trading Dalton Kincaid. He's not putting up big numbers. I don't think – I mean, listen, some of you want to make every single point about the Bills, about Diggs, which I think Herb Street did that a couple times yesterday. I guess you're free to do so. But their receivers, they didn't need them. There will be games I think they do.
Mm-hmm.
They just haven't happened yet. Definitely didn't happen last night. Mac Hollins, Curtis Samuel, MVS, Keon Coleman, 1 catch.
Yep.
You didn't need them. That was also in a half of a game. But – if they needed 56 points, maybe Josh Allen would have delivered 56 points.
Yeah. Talk to me after the Houston game, because I think the Bills will need receivers in that game, and Diggs will be on the other side of the field.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
We'll see what he does. I think they're going to need – they're still going to need to be whatever. I think they're going to need their receivers this year.
Yeah.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. More of your phone calls when we return. Sal's going to join us coming up. At 9 o'clock, we're back in a snap. That's brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.